Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com. Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Gentlemen, welcome to another weekly edition of the Hashtag Miranda Show. I am so excited for you to be listening to this. I would say be here, but you're not here. I'm here, you're there, wherever you are. But anyways, I digress. I am your hashtag queen of soft style, the Twitterless heroine herself, the ring announcer to the stars, which is a new one that Greg came up with. I'm still working on that, but I'm going to take it. I like it. I don't think I'm going to keep that one. So many nicknames. But yes, I am again very excited that you are with us this week. And I did say us, because I am joined by my co-host, Greg DeMarco.
Hi. How are you?
Don't you have a theme song that you usually play? The one
I wasn't
time
ready. Like,
I
usually
you
talk a whole lot more before I get to come in. And so I was like eating ice cream. I'm not going to lie. So,
welcome to the Hashtag Miranda Show. This is literally what we do.
It's delicious. This really
we
is.
We eat ice cream. We don't pay attention. We say random things. We talk fast. This is my life.
We talk fast. That's funny.
I do. I'm
you
trying.
Do, you don't move too fast on the show, though. You're fine. You, yeah. Fine, I'll play some music.
I'm an outlaw. I'm an outlaw. Quick on the draw.
Quick on the draw.
Something you never seen before.
Mandy.
Happy?
Yeah, no. I'm trying. I'm still learning about this whole podcasting thing. I relate a lot of things I do in wrestling to a Rubik's Cube. Just when you have figured things out and you have one side all the same color, yes, I have all this side blue. The rest of the Rubik's Cube is still a hot mess. I mean, that is a metaphor for my life in many ways, but also something that I'm relating to podcasting. I feel like I got the timing right, and then Greg is eating ice cream and doesn't cue in his music.
I mean, because you do such a good job with the opening stuff that I was like, oh, Miranda will do the opening stuff. She always does the opening stuff. She does a great job with the opening stuff. She didn't do the opening stuff.
I didn't do the opening stuff. See, the Rubik's Cube. I was so focused on getting the timing right for your music that I forgot the opening stuff.
Who cares about me? You remember, this is your show, not mine.
Well, that is also true. This is my show. For those of you who are a fan of Greg DeMarco or not a fan of Greg DeMarco, which I know you are out there.
Doesn't matter.
The wrestling Twitter hates Greg DeMarco. But I love Greg DeMarco. I love him so much that I asked him to be my permanent co-host many, many days ago. Actually, we're on week 16.
I know. So I thought about that during the drive home today. We made this big, huge fuss about the historic 15th episode and then made zero mention of it last week during the actual historic 15th episode. So congratulations on your historic 16th episode.
16th, yes. I mean, why just settle at 15 when you can go to 16? In Latin culture, we have the quinceañera at 15, which is very appropriate. I had a quince. It wasn't elaborate. I didn't have people dancing or anything, but I had a little pretty dress and a crown. So I should have had a quince. But
I just point something out. Like, you are, and this is people are going to think I'm insulting you, and maybe I am. But this goes back to all the times that I'm like, hey, say this in Spanish, and you can't or whatever. I feel like you are, like, the most convenient Latina ever. You're like, you know, I had a quinceañera and I did this and that. Oh, I can't say that in Spanish. Like, why would you ask me that? So, and maybe it's my fault for making assumptions, but yeah,
no,
I feel like sometimes.
I am
sometimes
one of those, like, modern Latinas where I grew up in Spanish culture. Both of my parents are Puerto Rican, born in Puerto Rico myself. But I, you know, grew up speaking English and actually have, like, a really bad, like, fear of speaking to people in Spanish just because I'm very self-conscious about the way that I sound. So then it creates kind of like a mental block of when I want to say something in Spanish. Like, if you're like, say something in Spanish, I was like, whoa, like, I got my mind then starts churning and it's like a very slow process, but eventually I can. Also with the help of Google Translate. But yeah, it's kind of a, you know, an interesting thing. And for people who grew up in, you know, mixed cultural backgrounds, you know, maybe speaking different languages or their parents are from, you know, a different country, but they grew up in the States. It's definitely different growing up in a bilingual household where your mind can think in a bilingual way, but it doesn't always translate in the way that you speak. So little fun history lesson about
first
me,
of all,
but
this is you know, we joke that you know that we're lifelong friends since September, but it's funny. I didn't know you were born in Puerto Rico until right now.
Yes.
So that's my boss is born in Puerto Rico and is going to be gone soon for like 10 days for a family reunion in Puerto Rico. So I did not know that. I am sending you a tweet right now that I retweeted it with as seen on the hashtag Miranda Show. You're gonna love it. Like, it's just too perfect.
I gotta open it now. I already see a snap of a dog.
Is that not hilarious? So describe it for the people who can't see it right now.
It is a picture of a bull terrier sitting down and someone holding an egg with two little dots for eyes and a little area for a nose. The bull terrier is looking up into the hand where the egg is, and the caption is, "My face is not a joke, Karen."
It's so good. It's really good. And the Twitter account is Chili Cheese Fries. And it's at Chili 87, and their Twitter bio is, "Just wishing that every day was Fries Day." So, yeah, I don't know how I saw it. I think somebody probably retweeted it, and I actually saw it during the Greg DeMarco show, and I saved it just for you because I thought it looked funny, and that was good enough. But then when I saw the caption, I was like, oh, this is – my face is not a joke, Karen. Karen, of course, is the name you use for any female who's in a negative way. That's just what we do now in the world.
Yeah.
It's always Karen. Whenever anybody wants to return anything at a store, it's Karen. Somebody walks in with the hairdo.
You're
Karen.
Trying to tempt me into Twitter. I am not on Twitter. I do.
Right.
I don't even have like a Twitter that I started that I never use. Like I just am not on Twitter. And for a while, well, of course, I've been made fun of by both Greg and Patrick about this, but especially Greg is, you know, trying to push me onto Twitter, and he knows my weakness is cute little animals. So, you know, it's a good shot. It's a good try showing me the positives of Twitter, but
the negatives far outweigh the positives.
The negatives,
that's for sure.
Totally, totally outweigh the positives. Okay.
You can, of course, follow me at Chairshot Greg. Let me just share with you. So obviously the big topic was all the stuff with Seth Rollins and whatever. So here's the latest conversation that someone had. Someone said, you know, question, what is the last 10 years of WWE said about McMahon's legacy? And I replied with billion with a B. And someone else replied nine zeros, which I just loved. And I think nine zeros is what I'm going to start using now. And this Twitter account that I actually no longer follow replies back, that's all that matters, huh? And somebody else replied, for a publicly traded corporation with shareholders and over 200 employees, yes. And I replied with pro wrestling business. And so the person replied with, and we talked about this, so what you're saying is they don't give a fuck about the fans, the followers then. And I replied, followers are a terribly small portion of the fan base. Wrestling Twitter represents 3 to 5% of the fan base. If they cater to you, they'd go out of business. And then I decided to be me and do what I do, because I think that first statement I made is fine. But then I had to make the second statement. They're smarter than you, and you'll never accept it, so move on. You can imagine the response that I got from this. The person said, they're, T-H-E-I-R, not smarter than me. They're, T-H-E-I-R, richer than me. So they can define the answers as they wish. By, B-U-Y, spell that right, by fanboys like you, and the cycle will continue. And so I replied, okay, number one, there, you know, the star there, the right. Number two, they haven't bought me. I just understand what this business is. And number three, what does it matter? Just stop watching. You have more options now than ever before. Why torture yourself? This person replies back, sorry, bro, my grammar isn't as good as yours because I'm drinking adult beverages. I watch other stuff, blah, blah, blah. And then he says, your stand for WWE, just fucking admit it. They'll never hire you. And he says, sorry, bro, my grammar ain't as good as yours. And I replied back, let's be honest, everything you're doing ain't as good as mine. And then he said, keep swallowing Vince's product, thinking it's the best. Enjoy it. I'm out. Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
That's Twitter.
Yeah, I'm not interested in any of that. Not in one bit. But what makes people think that just because you say something positive about the WWE, or you just understand like their business model, like you just understand that they are a multi-million worldwide publicly traded company. They have a business structure. And now this company is just not reliant on, you know, income that they make from pay-per-views and this and that. I mean, they are working with advertisers. They work with social media. Like, they are doing everything. And it's, well, you only like them because, you know, you want them, you want to work for them, or, you know, you're drinking their Kool-Aid. It's like, you just understand how a business works. You just understand that this is
right.
The model that they're using, and this is how they're making money. It doesn't
and they're making
mean
tons
that you
of
like
it.
The product every
like,
moment of every day. You like everything that they do, but you just also understand that this is they're it's a company that happens to do pro wrestling, but isn't focused on pro wrestling every moment of every day.
Right. Exactly. Now somebody else replies back. When a WWE superstar wishes AEW good luck, oh my God, you're so brave for saying this. I hope Vince doesn't punish you. When a WWE superstar says anything good about their own company, Vince is definitely forcing you to say this with a gun pointed at you right now. Like, this is – and I just love – that's the crazy thing. People will tweet at me, and they'll talk about how it's so bad, and everyone knows this. But then I'll have a million likes on one of my positive tweets about WWE, and people replying that they're agreeing with me. I get a tweet a couple times a week from a random person who I never talked to on Twitter – basically saying just like, I love all your tweets and you're like the good ones. And then, you know, out there. And then I get DMs from people that are like, I can't believe how dumb people are being right now. Like, it's You are the minority complainers, and you'll never understand it. But here, we've hijacked enough of your show. I need to. I'm gonna
he also just wanted that
right
opportunity.
Now.
He sent to us of someone sending him like a really positive tweet, like how much they love him.
Well,
and
yeah,
he was so excited.
Often.
This is really why we're just doing this show today. It's just so Greg can gloat about someone on Twitter who likes him.
Yeah, in fact, we're good. That was the shortest edition of the hashtag
show
ever. To make up for all the ones that run way longer
ever.
Than they're supposed to.
No, but it does segue into what I wanted to talk about tonight, because we did talk about a pretty serious subject, or at least what Twitter is considering a serious subject, the Twitter conversation between Seth Rollins and Will Ospreay, and especially the negativity out there on social media about how pro wrestling fans view the WWE and how they view other products, and how it's seemingly that no matter what WWE does, fans are just not going to like it, or they're not going to give them the recognition of when they do something good, or maybe they want them to be something that they're not. And it can be really draining as a fan or as someone who's just involved in pro wrestling to read that and wonder, what are we doing all this for? Why are we even fans? Why are you a fan if most of your social media feed is about how this sucks or this isn't good or this is terrible? So I really wanted to use this show as a way to help kind of regenerate, you know, the love and interest in pro wrestling and really think about what makes you a fan. What do you love about pro wrestling? And the idea that came to mind was to develop a pro wrestling bucket list. Now, I don't like to see too much into the future just because I don't have time for that. I don't even know what I'm going to eat tomorrow. I try to meal prep, and then I make it, and then I realize I don't want to eat it anymore. It's a vicious cycle. Talking about cycles, I've tried that, and I can't. Then I say, I don't want it anymore, and I don't eat it. But I wanted to do something that we could talk about and converse about, maybe events and places and people and even things that are on our pro wrestling bucket list, and have, you know, you listening, think about what's on your bucket list, and is it an accumulation of things of, you know, what makes you love wrestling? You know, deep down, is it, you know, really drawn to certain companies or certain people or certain era of wrestling. But I like to do these things because I may not always like every product out there. And I, you know, don't always like what WWE does and what they put out there, you know, and sometimes I do, you know, who knows? It depends on the week, to be honest, but I love pro wrestling no matter what. And I want to take some time to kind of develop this, and who knows, maybe actually act on it. Like if I write it down, if I put it out there, if I say it out loud, I kind of then put myself accountable to actually doing this. So maybe it will lead to some interesting adventures in the future. Who knows?
Maybe.
But, you know, Greg, do you have some things in mind? Have you, before this, have you ever had a wrestling bucket list?
No, only mentally. I've never written one specifically down. Just because it's funny. I ordered a planner on Amazon. It just arrived today. I get reimbursed for it at work now with the new position at work. And I just feel like I have so many things going on between the real job, the family, the wrestling business, all that stuff. So I was like, I just need to up the organization skills and provide myself with a tool to do that, because I want to be successful at all these things. And so, and I think that writing things down, we're actually in an age now where more people want to use paper planners than digital, which is a shift from way it's been in recent time frames. So I've wanted to go more towards writing things down. So I've always had a mental bucket list. I've done some of them. You know, going to WrestleMania was on the bucket list, and it's something that I wanted to do, as was going to the Royal Rumble, as you've experienced. So that was a big one as well. I've been really lucky to do a lot of things, because my wrestling bucket list is probably different than yours too. It's probably different than some others. Like I wanted to, you know, ring announce in front of certain size crowds when I was ring announcing, and got to ring announce for a crowd of over 1,000 people at the Celebrity Theater here for an NWA event before. And so there's some things like that as well, but we'll probably get more into it. But I have had a bucket list. WrestleMania was a big one when we bought those WrestleMania tickets, you know, back in 2010, actually it was 2009 was when we bought them. That was a big moment to know that WrestleMania was actually going to happen. That same weekend, I got to run two shows of the Ring of Honor, which probably was, at the point in time, just working in the business in general would have been on the bucket list. And I got to check a huge one off that weekend as well. And that's why Patrick and I will jokingly call it the greatest weekend in the history of our sport, because of all the stuff we got to do. But it's, you know, there's a lot of things, but there's still some more things on the bucket list that we'll get into.
Well, you brought up, I think, the biggest thing that is on most wrestling fans' bucket list, and that is to go to a WrestleMania. And I have not the fortune. I haven't been able to go to one. You brought up that in 2010, WrestleMania was in Phoenix. And that was actually during a period where I was somewhat in the fandom. I've been kind of in ebbs and flows with my wrestling fandom.
Right.
Over the past 5 years, I would say I've been the most consistent ever since when I was a kid. Everything else in between was maybe I'll watch it for a little bit and then back and forth. But I knew exactly, you know, what it was and how much of a big deal it was to have it in Phoenix. But at the time, I just wasn't able to go. And it hurt, actually, for like the first, I would say, 1 or 2 years after.
Really?
Just because, you know, to have it in your backyard. And as a kid, literally my entry point into pro wrestling was WrestleMania 14. So I've known the importance of this event forever. And knowing how much it's grown every single year in popularity, in location, in, you know, just the whole glitz and glamour of the event. And it is very similar to going to a Super Bowl. I think going to a Super Bowl is on a lot of people's bucket list. And as a wrestling fan, I don't care whether you love WWE or hate it. I guarantee you, especially if you haven't gone to one, going to one is on your bucket list. Because it's WrestleMania. I mean, I think that event transcends WWE, you know, in a way that even if you aren't a fan of the product at the moment, or maybe you're a past fan, you know what WrestleMania is and you know how much of a big deal it is. So to pass it up in your backyard was hard, but I have seen how it's grown and evolved, especially over the past, gosh, I would say ever since WrestleMania 30, since it started airing on the network. But now that it is a full weekend event with the Hall of Fame and NXT, that part of me is kind of glad that at this point, I'm really interested in seeing what a WrestleMania looks like now and the experience of it now compared to what it could have been in 2010. So I try to do that so I don't cry myself to sleep at night thinking what could have been.
It's funny that you say that because you did one time inform me that when we were talking about, you know, even on your show with, you know, the new stadium going up in Vegas and the new stadium going up in L.A., how basically I was obligated to go to either of those WrestleManias with you. So it's going to happen. You are going to cross that one off your bucket list.
Yeah. Fingers crossed that a West Coast location gets announced soon. I don't care. I'm going to have to go. I mean,
right.
I don't think it's coming back to Phoenix anytime soon. So I really have to make the best out of whatever West Coast WrestleMania they decide to do.
So. I agree. I don't think it's coming back to Phoenix anytime soon simply because, look, Royal Rumble didn't sell out. The WrestleMania that was out here didn't sell out. And those were, you know, 9 years apart at this point. So I do believe that that it will come through a West Coast city, but it won't be. It'll even be a drivable West Coast city, unlike WrestleMania 31, which would have had to be flown to. It'll be a drivable West Coast city, and it'll happen definitely in the next few years. Obviously, we already know where next year is. I got to look at the schedule and see when LA or Vegas has a Final Four or a Super Bowl, if those are even in order yet, because it does kind of work around those. It'll be interesting to see what it's going to be, one of those two cities, in my opinion. And it'll be interesting to see which one of the two gets the WrestleMania first, because I think a lot of people are going to assume LA, but I think, you know, Vegas is basically their Western version of New Orleans, which we know they love. So
I love New Orleans. And New Orleans is fun. Have you ever been?
No, no. It's funny you say that. You're getting to one of my bucket list items.
Okay.
Believe it or not. Which is okay.
Yes, that's okay. But New Orleans is great. I could totally see why they're there. And the food is ridiculous. I was listening to, it was Mark Henry who was talking about his love of New Orleans. And, you know, Mark Henry is a big guy, loves food.
Right.
Every note and comment he made about New Orleans food, I was starving. I mean, and that's just the food. So many awesome things about New Orleans. So, yes, not really a question, but you should put it on your bucket list for anyone who hasn't gone yet. But, yeah, so WrestleMania is on my events bucket list. And I would say probably number one, just because, one, it's annual, fairly accessible. But, two, I mean, I think as a wrestling fan to go to this event, I think all wrestling fans should go, whether you love WWE, maybe you don't, but at the same time, I think that it sounds like almost this magical place where thousands and thousands of fans come together and get to experience something so unique and something that only wrestling fans can really appreciate, because I think outsiders or people who are just not wrestling fans kind of cringe as to why would you sit and watch that all day. But there's something about just pro wrestling in general, for whatever reason you love it, whether it's the drama, whether it's the athleticism, whether it's the characters, whatever it is, you get that at WrestleMania. You may not get it at every moment, and you may not get it the moment that you want, but you get the whole pro wrestling experience at WrestleMania. And I just think it's amazing. So number one on my list of events. Now, places. Now, there's definitely some pro wrestling meccas or areas that, you know, really hold strong in professional wrestling. One thing that I did mention last week was my fandom of a new women's promotion that I found in England called Pro Wrestling Eve. And it is this feminist punk rock promotion comprised of all women based in England. And it really got me thinking, you know, what other places, you know, does wrestling live, and would I ever want to make that trip over there? And that would be one area, one place. I'd love to go overseas to watch wrestling there, in England, in Japan, even in Canada, in Mexico. I've been seeing kind of previews for the upcoming Vice new series on Vice called The Wrestlers, where they highlight wrestling in different countries. And that just has really piqued my fascination in learning about wrestling in different communities and cultures and countries. And I would say probably England is my number one right now. That is kind of the wrestling scene that I'm the most familiar with. And I'm not hugely familiar with wrestling outside of the United States, but one that I've just kind of kept my ear on and I recognize the most. But I would definitely be open to viewing wrestling and witnessing wrestling in a completely different country. Is that, what about you, Greg? Have you had like a location in mind, a place that you would like to watch wrestling in for the first time?
I love the UK scene in general, like you were talking about. I fell in love with it with the first WWE United Kingdom Championship tournament, the one that was won by Tyler Bate, and I love that style. It's even influenced a little bit of how I want to put on a show now, and actually you'll see some of that influence soon with IZW. It's a bigger focus on the one-on-one matches and the individual showdowns, and And that's something that, that to me stands out in a big way. It's highly influential over Triple H. I don't think a lot of people see it, but it really is. And especially the way that he is now. I would love to go to an NXT UK takeover now that I've been to an NXT takeover. Even if Adam Cole didn't wrestle on it, that's okay. I'll be all right. I would love to go to an NXT UK takeover just because I really like that product. The other one that's location specific, we alluded to before, I do want to go to WrestleMania New Orleans. Like that is what I want to do. Here's what's funny about that, though. I want to go to WrestleMania in New Orleans as a whole. That doesn't mean I actually have to go to WrestleMania in New Orleans. Like, I want to go for WrestleMania weekend in New Orleans. If I don't actually go to see WrestleMania live and I find some place to watch it, I will be perfectly happy. I just want to be part of that scene in that place when it happens. And do it with people that I know, like a large group of people that I know, versus just Patrick and I, like it was last time. I want Patrick to be one of those people, but I want there to be more. And I don't actually have to go to the WrestleMania event in order to be happy with that trip. In fact, Patrick and I have joked about going to WrestleMania weekend and not going to WrestleMania, just because it's not even the easiest thing to watch in a giant stadium. I'm not going to lie. Like,
no,
the views aren't always the best. You're watching a lot of it on screen. Like at the Royal Rumble this year, you know, point to watch as much stuff in the ring and not on the screen as I possibly could, because I don't want to sit in an arena but watch wrestling on the screen. It just seems counterintuitive to me. So I would be perfectly happy going to New Orleans WrestleMania weekend, but not going to the actual WrestleMania event.
Have you spoken with people who've gone to WrestleMania in New Orleans and kind of heard about their experiences?
Yes, I haven't asked them those specific questions about the live experience of WrestleMania, because when I talk to them about it, all they talk about is the weekend as a whole, how amazing a time they had in general, and just the weekend itself. I'd have to find it for you because it's buried now, but Christopher Platt, who of course did a run-in on your show a couple weeks ago, he went to WrestleMania New Orleans, and he actually – there's two different – it was like Party with Platt. I can't remember what we called it. But they're just random recordings that he did while he was down there, and they are hilarious. He ran into I think he ran into Too Cold Scorpio. Who else did he? I can't even remember who else he ran into. He did eventually run into Dave from Attitude of Aggression, which is another one of our shows. And it's just hilarious. And he's just, you know, he's the party scene down there. And it's just really, really funny.
Oh, yeah.
But whenever I talk to anybody about the New Orleans WrestleMania, they rarely talk about the WrestleMania event itself.
So maybe if they decide to do WrestleMania at New Orleans again sometime soon, I'm not going to be too mad at that. That I will probably.
It's going to happen.
It's
they obviously
happen.
Like it. They obviously
they
love
like it. And they like them. You know, New Orleans loves having WWE there. So, you know, why not?
And it's not to say that I wouldn't want to do a South Florida WrestleMania or any other area WrestleMania, but New Orleans really does seem to stand out. I had no desire to do WrestleMania 35 in New York. Like, that just
yeah. –
the logistics of it all did not appeal to me.
I've heard the logistics, especially afterwards with transportation, was horrid because the show ran late and a lot of the trains stopped – Sunday, all of that, like that does not sound appealing to me. And I love areas of the East Coast. I visited Boston. I love New York. I'm still the jury's out. I'm not quite sure. And I think it's also a cultural thing. You know, West Coast is the best coast. This is the hill that I'm going to die on. I don't care. But it's also just a way different mentality. And I think that does impact the way that the show and the weekends are run. And going back to New Orleans, I think it integrates really well that spirit and style of New Orleans, blending in really beautifully with the entertainment aspect of WWE. So I think I've just added something else onto my bucket list. So not only a WrestleMania, but also a New Orleans WrestleMania. Any excuse to go to a WrestleMania and any excuse to go to New Orleans,
I'm
down for. But I don't want this to keep it just WWE exclusive, because we brought up, oh my God, I keep saying Nevada, but we brought up Las Vegas, and that was where Double or Nothing was held. That was something that I was definitely trying to try and work into and go around to, but you know, just with tickets and all of that, it just wasn't feasible. But location wise, I thought it was great, and I definitely would, you know, jury's still out, it's still very young, but I definitely would put an AEW event on my bucket list, because it is almost lightning in a bottle at this point. And you know, there's still so many shows to go, still a lot to be seen, but regardless of what happens with that company, I would want to say I was there. I would want to see that and witness that myself. And one, I think that the environment would be pretty different than a WWE show, but also to just have that perspective of being a fan there live and seeing what the difference is between what it is produced on a TV or pay-per-view compared to that live environment. We've heard a lot of times the differences between a live environment and what we see on TV, and I'd like to really see, is that also the case with AEW? I have a feeling it is, but also in this moment of time, it is one of the most exciting times to be a wrestling fan, and I think I would kind of shoot myself in the foot if I just focus so much on WWE when there's so much amazing wrestling happening. And with AEW, I mean, it would definitely be something that I would want to go to, whether it was one of their bigger events, whatever it'd be, I'm putting it on my list.
It's funny you say that. I actually think, I don't think I'd ever want to go to Double or Nothing or All Out. I think I would want to go to one of their smaller events, like, you know, Fighter Fest or Fight for the Fallen, or when they're on TV, one of their TVs. And I bet there'll be one close to us at some point in time. I think that opportunity to go to AEW television will present itself more than anything else. Double or Nothing and All Out are just giant, like, masturbation fest for themselves. I have no desire to go and
it's
be
like
around.
Twitter in real life.
Yeah, it really is. Like I don't think I want to actually be in the middle of wrestling Twitter. First of all, so here's what would happen, right? Say we went to Double or Nothing again, right? And we go there, which with a name like Double or Nothing, it kind of has to be in a place that has casinos, which there are plenty of. But say we go there and we're there, and all of a sudden, missed a conversation. Somebody's like, "Hey, look, that's Greg DeMarco. We may not get out alive. You would."
God.
I don't know if I would, because even though I could probably
I'd have to kick everybody's ass. I'd probably take one, two, or four
of those people.
Right.
I don't know if I could take 100.
Can't take you anywhere.
Not, well, you can take me lots of places, but you can't take me there. I think going to All Out or Double or Nothing, unless I couldn't wear a Chair Shot shirt. I couldn't, like it'd have to be the most inconspicuous version of me possible.
Well,
and
can you
know
pull
me well
a CM Punk and just put a mask on?
That actually draws attention, though, like to yourself. So I don't even know if that – maybe we could do the mask gimmick. I don't know.
Maybe.
But – that might be a poor life decision for me to go to one of those shows.
Greg made too many enemies.
Apparently so. And I'm sure that's enemies.
Greg's got a lot of enemies.
Yeah. So if something happens, you don't know me, and you don't know how you got sat next to me, and yeah, it's every man and woman for themselves at that point, because it's not going to end well. But it'd be a hell of a story if we survive it.
It would be a hell of a story. In memory of Greg DeMarco, I'll have to come back and share the tale and write about it.
I'll be honest with you. I don't care how many there are. I could probably take a lot of those neck beards. I'm not going to lie. Like, I think I'd make it home okay. Bumps, bruises, scratches, fine. I don't think anything would be broken. I don't think I'd have to visit the hospital. I think I'd be perfectly fine. And some of them would not
be fine. Greg, and I got you. I got these. And by these, I'm flexing right now. You can't see. But
I can hear it through the new microphone. Ooh. You have.
I've actually been doing DDP yoga. That's speaking of Kool-Aid, I drank that Kool-Aid. And it's actually a lot of fun. I'm not a yoga aficionado by any means, but I saw how, you know, pretty different than kind of your typical yoga, and I ended up really liking it. I can't say that I feel that much stronger, but I'm like, you know, definitely I got some guns, and I just, my arm's not real guns. I don't know how to shoot a gun, but I can punch you in the face. So, I mean, not you, just like, you know, anyone who tries to mess with us. So, yeah, Greg, man, I'm sorry. I don't think you'd make it out of Vegas alive. I could bore people to death with my talking, and that may stop. That may stop them. But who knows? Who knows? But we also talked about a few other locations and wrestling outside of WWE. You talked about kind of our roles in wrestling are a little bit different. You have produced wrestling shows. You've ring announced, all of that. I have myself been ring announcing for about 3 years now, primarily in Arizona and New Mexico. But definitely as a ring announcer, I would love to ring announce in a different coast, specifically the South. And I've heard of stories about how announcers there and play-by-play definitely play to the Southern draw and the Southern style that's spoken there. Now, I would go in there not in any way, shape, or form trying to replicate a Southern accent, but I've always just loved the style of announcing there. It's kind of like a heartiness and a richness to announcing.
I made it.
You made it.
I made it. Yeah, I don't know what you were talking about, but I made it. I heard the dial tone, like the do, you know, and then I was just like,
yeah.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah,
it's
you got
been
booted.
A while that happened.
I didn't hear anything, I figured you got booted, and I just kept going.
I sent you a
if
message.
If I wasn't booted off, yeah. I kept going.
That's fine.
But
you were there. You're still there.
I was there. I was actually talking about more of a like a ring announcing bucket list thing that I wanted to do, and that would be to announce in the South, which is kind of a weird bucket list item, but I've just always loved the style of announcing, both in ring announcing and commentary in the South. Not that I could replicate that, but I would.
Oh, but you should try. Like, that'd be so good.
I have a lot of practice to do, but I've just always
it would be good.
I've always been really
hey,
fond
y'all.
Of it. And
hey y'all, it's me. I can't even do it. It's Miranda. I ain't on Twitter. Stop asking.
I ain't on Twitter.
I ain't on that. I hate Twitter.
I ain't on
y'all stop.
Darn Twitter.
Y'all stop asking me about Twitter. I don't like Twitter. No. No, I don't want to see your dog. Oh, your dog's so cute. Bring your dog over here to the ring. Bring your dog. There's that little dog.
Greg, I had no idea you did such a perfect Southern accent. One of these days, I'm going to make you just do a whole show in a Southern accent.
Bless your heart, Greg.
Bless your heart, dog.
You have so many hidden talents we didn't even know about. Your mama must be so proud. She's not, by the way. She's not at all. Yeah, I can do a Southern accent apparently. There you go. You happy now?
I'm thrilled. You're gonna have to teach me.
Can you teach that? I don't know. Maybe. I did live in Virginia.
I'm not 7 feet tall, and you can't teach that. So other things probably.
I'm not sure you. I lived in Virginia for like 15 years, so that's you know a big part of it. So. Yeah. And when I moved to Virginia, I had a heavy New York accent, believe it or not. Like, because that's where I grew up for the first 8 years of my life was New York. So when I moved down there, I had the heavy New York accent. It's completely gone now, obviously. So.
Yeah. You've definitely been Arizonanized.
Well, I think living in Virginia basically took away any semblance of an accent. Like, people used to joke, oh, you should be on the news because you don't have an accent. And I don't even want to watch the news, let alone be on the news. But. And I don't watch the news, by the way. I don't at all ever watch the news. It's just all negative gloom and doom because that's what sells, just like wrestling Twitter. But I just lost any semblance of an accent. It'll come out here and there, little things. Both Virginia and New York will come out. But, yeah, I can do many voices.
Yeah,
actually.
Whole pissing people like off, that totally sounds New York to me.
That's weird because that, I think that that portion of my personality just came about later in life when I just woke up one day and was like, I don't care what anybody thinks. That's there are certain people whose opinion I value and whose opinions matter. And it's a very, very small list of people. And it's just the way it is.
Who
you're
knew?
On it. You're on it, but you yeah. matter.
Thanks. Well, speaking of, is there ever a region or a place in the United States that you've always wanted to work in but didn't?
Well, most of my wrestling experience is limited to this. I'm assuming you're talking about wrestling. Is limited
yeah.
to Arizona. That's where I first, when I moved back out here back in 2006, that's how I got involved, and basically everything has been out here. It's less of a region that I want to work in. When I got to work for Ring of Honor in 2010, that was life-changing in terms of – not my actual life, but in terms of experience in the wrestling business. That was very eye-opening, changed a lot of things. No one would believe it, but I literally sat across the table from the executive vice president of Ring of Honor. Small company, so being there with the executive vice president of Ring of Honor was not – it's not like being there with Triple H or anything like that. It's very different. But he was second in charge behind Kerry Silken. And literally during breakfast as we're planning things out, he's like, would you ever want to move to Bristol and work for us? And I was like, no, I wouldn't. Only because I didn't want to move. Like, I didn't want to relocate my family and go through that because we like it out here. And plus I knew that, like, independent wrestling – in 2010 may not be a smart career move. And I would have been right, considering pretty much everybody who worked there then doesn't work there now, since the company got bought and sold and all that stuff. So it you know, wouldn't have been a good decision. But the reason why people wouldn't believe it, because they wouldn't believe that someone would offer me a job in the wrestling business, because, you know, my takes are so terrible and I'm just a shill for WWE. But
yeah, WWE your best.
Yeah, exactly. But I would like – it's really just things I'd like to do in the wrestling business. I have fallen in love more with the promotional and producing side of things. I have no desire to announce to do any of that stuff anymore. I've done it. I've been a manager. I've been an authority figure. I've done everything except wrestle, even though I've taken, I think, 3 bumps in my life, all terribly done. But I did them. And they told a story, and that's what they were about. But that's just not where it is for me. I would rather book and produce and write and tell stories that other people actually act out and play. And funny story aside, someone, I guess, didn't like my booking once and literally joked about how we're not little action figures for you to play with, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, you're never going to make it in this business if you feel that way about someone who's booking you. So, yeah, that was a fun – I wish I could – it was sent to me on Facebook, and I could probably still find it. But, yeah, okay. Someone said that to me.
Well, you're not the puppeteer.
So, yeah, that was a lot of fun. I may or may not have just sent you a message of who that person was.
Okay.
Just so you can see it. But so for me, it's more of things on the bucket list. Like, I would like to work for WWE in that capacity, even if it's just as somebody they bring in locally to do things, which they use. They use a lot of people locally in every city that they go to. And I would not mind being one of those people to do that, just to have that experience. And I probably have more access to that now than ever before, for reasons I won't share on air, but I would love to do that and just kind of see how it's run and then try to learn a thing or two and apply it to things locally. That's definitely something that's on the bucket list and would love to do that. And would not, you know, everyone jokes about, oh, they're never going to hire you, whatever. Look, I wouldn't turn it down if the opportunity was there. Like, I would do it, but it's not anything that I'm actively seeking out. That's for sure. Because of the travel that's involved and having a family, it's not really conducive to that.
Well, I really wonder how many people, if they were presented with an offer to work for WWE, would truly take it. They may say they wouldn't because they don't like the company or they don't like the product. But if you had that offer right in front of you, you know, would you truly pass it up? And I mean it more from the perspective of just one day they decide to hire a fan, because I know that the process as a pro wrestler is very different. And people who decide to accept or turn down offers from WWE, they have a whole variety of reasons. But if just your average fan somehow got a contract in front of them to do something for WWE, you know, social media, business, or whatever it is, how many of them would truly turn it down? And I think we'd be surprised by the amount of people who would on Twitter or on social media or even just in passing talk about not liking them, but sign on that dotted line. And that's okay. It's okay to admit that you would accept an offer, but it's also realizing, you know, what are you truly mad at? What do you truly dislike about WWE? And would that opinion change if they decided to pay you? Who knows?
I think, yeah, definitely a higher percentage than would admit it on Twitter, and probably even a much higher percentage than that. That's a Twitter poll that I should send out and then never follow up on, because what you do with Twitter polls, you send them out and then you forget you did, and then you can't find them 2 days later when they end.
Well, another place I would want to add to my bucket list, and this is fairly attainable, but something that I definitely need to put actual effort into, is visiting the actual Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame and Museum in Wichita Falls, Texas. This is, you know, the Hall of Fame that actually exists outside of the realm of WWE, in Wichita Falls. I don't know where that is. But I met one of the owners of the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame and Museum several years ago in New Mexico. He came, we did a little plug for the Hall of Fame. And since then, just learning more about all of the memorabilia that's there, the Hall of Fame ceremony that they do, I think that's just a fascinating place, a collection of wrestling items, posters and gear and newspaper clippings and tickets. I think it's so hard now to find these tangible items of history, and to be so close to that, I think would be really interesting, but also just like help remind you of why you love wrestling, and whether it's just remembering a wrestler or a match or, you know, a period in time. Museums like this are important. I think all museums are. But to have one solely dedicated to wrestling, I don't think enough people give it that recognition, or at least, you know, the respect that it deserves. Because, you know, where else is it going to live? It doesn't seem like there's anywhere else it's going to live in any other museum. You know, it's not going to be hanging in the Smithsonian. It's not going to be at your Natural History Museum. I mean, this is really a niche form of entertainment. And there isn't going to be a lot of places outside of, you know, someone's own private collection that they will share. Maybe people post things online to sell, but just this, you know, plethora of you know, items that you can just kind of go through and look at and see really the growth of wrestling, you know, over the past 50, 60, 70 years. It's very fascinating. And as someone who is still in this cusp area of being an early fan, but also a newer fan, to get that knowledge of what was happening, especially in the 70s and the 80s, even further back, it really fascinates me. So yeah, I'm a nerd, but deal with it. And I think, especially if you live close to this, take the time to check it out. The Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame and Museum in Wichita Falls, Texas.
Yeah, looking at their website, like, I'm definitely intrigued. It's three. Like, I feel like I hopped into a time machine when I go to their website, because it is old and outdated.
It's old.
But it's $3 admission. Like, nothing's $3 anymore. Like, this is amazing. And it's closed Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, so it's not open today.
Very limited.
It's open Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And veterans may close the hall early on Sundays if downtown is quiet. Like, this is a thing.
On their website, it tells like how you get there, and it mentions how to get there by Greyhound bus. Which is not something I'm going to do.
But, interesting. It's
but in some ways, it's almost like this only can succeed in such a small town.
But I look at the pictures, and I'm there. Like, I want to go there. Like, just looking at the pictures, like, I definitely want to see this. And I do hope, like, but looking at the angles of the pictures, like, they may actually show everything there in the pictures. So I may have already seen it all just by looking at the pictures. But I still think it would be cool to go and do that. I actually, we years ago on this show helped promote an event that the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame was involved in, and actually got somebody from there, not the guy who's listed now, but somebody else, actually came on a show with us and talked about it. It might have been a different Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. It might have actually been the one in Iowa, now that I think about it. But I even have a signed picture from Colt Cabana that was gotten for me by the person who arranged the interview. It wasn't with Colt Cabana, the interview, but person knew I liked Colt Cabana because I think we talked about it or something at the time. And so I have a signed autograph picture from Colt Cabana that was a thank you for doing an interview with somebody to promote a Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. But I think it's the one in Iowa, so forget I ever talked about any of it.
That's okay. Well, and the fact that there's more of them, this is the one that I'm aware of, but if there are more out there, I think it's definitely worth a Google search. So check out, you know, wherever your nearest pro wrestling Hall of Fame may be, because you should, you know, get an education, learn about wrestling other than what you see on the internet, because we know that the internet is so reliable. So reliable. I do want to finish off this bucket list with people. We talked about places, we've talked about events, people and things, as far as, you know, who would you like to meet and maybe some items you'd like to own. My, I guess, bucket list person that I would love to meet, and this just goes back to my fandom of the Attitude Era, but it's just Jim Ross. To me, he encompasses really why I fell in love with commentary and kind of that side of the ring. It is something that I have always loved about wrestling, the storytelling, and especially as a kid, being able to listen to his interactions with the King and how he talked through matches and helped really convey stories. I don't know what it is about it. I probably just more nostalgia than anything, but he is a huge reason why I fell in love with wrestling, and I've always admired his work. And when people ask, you know, when you were a kid, did you ever consider being a pro wrestler? Not in the least, really, because I'm not athletic, or, you know, I can't flip anything or run it. I'm just a terrible athlete. But I've always loved the idea of commentary and announcing, and a lot of that goes back to Jim Ross. So he is kind of that person who really brought me into wrestling. And of course, there's lots of people in the Attitude Era that more on that kid nostalgia side that I would love, you know, Rock and Stone Cold, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, all those people, you know, I guess you can just accumulate in like an Attitude Era section in my bucket list. Like any of those people, Mick Foley, I love Mick Foley. Any of those people, like that would be a pretty big deal. I did meet some kind of 90s, 2000s professional wrestlers from ECW a few years ago in New Mexico, Tommy Dreamer. Last year I met the Blue Meanie. Both wonderful, wonderful, very nice people. And yeah, definitely like the kid in me was shocked that I was even talking with them and taking pictures with them. So that aspect was cool. But, and then of course in modern era, I mean, Bailey, I mean, she is just my spirit animal. She is just, I think me in a lot of ways, definitely seeing, you know, what I am now, sometimes what I want to be. But I adore her. So she would be on my bucket list as far as current stars. I know you've met a lot of people in the business. Is there still anyone left on your bucket list, like who you would want to meet?
Well, so first of all, would you meet Bailey, like the real person or Bailey the character?
I think there's a little bit of both in her. I feel like the real her is very laid back, low key, from what I've seen on videos and interviews. As far as the character, yeah, that's a little amped up. So I guess I know the character, but I would just love, I guess, to meet the person and see like more of that person. But I don't think there's a huge difference outside of just that energy level is probably a little bit higher in the ring compared to, you know, who she is outside.
I'm just gonna let you keep believing that for now, just because. I'm going to. So my list has three people on it. One of whom I've actually met, which is kind of ironic that they're on my list. So first one's obvious. Because I mean, of course I would. Like, why wouldn't I? He's just the nicest human in the world too, so I want to do that. The second one is
nice try though.
That is, of course, the voice of Adam Pearce, who we've interviewed many times on the show. And I've met more than once. The NWA show I was telling you about, I was the ring announcer for. He worked, and that's how I met him, and he actually remembers that. He was also the booker for Ring of Honor when I ran the Ring of Honor shows, and so had that interaction. I feel like I want to meet these people outside of an actual working environment, because then you actually get to spend time with them and know them. The third is Eric Bischoff. I love Eric Bischoff. I love his mind for the business. We've talked about this before. Patrick's the same way. Like, of all the people in the business, I think most like he does, and even a little more in the storytelling and the booking side where he's not. I would love to spend time and pick the brain of Eric Bischoff and you know, pay for dinner and to know and all of that, just because. And with the advent of all these podcasts, you kind of get that. Different in that setting, so that would be in terms of people.
And you bring up another side that I kind of forgot to mention, and I had written it down as far as people who are more directly involved in kind of our roles in wrestling. For me, someone that I've just been watching intensely, just old videos and really trying to, you know, learn and understand their method is Lillian Garcia. I mean, she did so much for just ring announcing in general. You know, she is and has been one of the best in the entire business. And for her to do it as a woman, I think is a fairly big deal. And the reason why I feel like I can do what I do sometimes is because of Lillian. And so I would just love the chance to interact with her and ask her every single question in the world about ring announcing. Because, I mean, a lot of females, of course, get compared to her, but also just because she really did hold her own. She has that powerful voice, and I know some of that is contributed to her singing background, which even makes it so much more intriguing but also challenging to transition from singing to announcing and things like that. And I know she's branched out to announcing for other sports, which is, I mean, I think it's awesome. And so she's definitely a bucket list person and more for trying to absorb every piece of knowledge that I could. You know this story, Greg, but a lot of the public doesn't know about the time I met Justin Roberts back in December as I was dressed like an elf.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of fun. He had come to an Arizona Wrestling Federation show in December, our December show, and I decided, of course, that day, I'm going to dress up as an elf. I'm going to, you know, really be in the theme of this month's show. And little did I know until about 20 minutes before we went to show that he was going to be there. And someone had mentioned, I think we had a conversation about, well, I always get nervous before I announce just because, you know, it's a live crowd. You want to make sure you're doing well, all of those things. And he mentioned, yeah, I would be nervous too if Justin Roberts would be coming. And it just was all downhill for them. No, it was a great show. And I definitely was compelled to ask him a few questions. And I was like, I don't care if I'm just like an elf. I need to pick this guy's brain. When else am I going to do it? And I regret nothing. I did run into him at the IZW show when we joked about how I was no longer an elf and how apparently I decide to be an elf as a side gig to announcing during the holiday season. So yeah.
That's so good. And I did know a lot of that story. It's really funny you talk about that too, because I do think Lillian Garcia is a much better person for you to interact with and pick the brain of than a Justin Roberts. Like, it's just, it just makes so much more sense. We never talked about this. I have so much respect for Lillian Garcia, not just because of the job she did, because of the time she quit WWE. Like, mm-hmm. she quit over something really personal, and I had so much respect. They made fun of her on the air, and she quit over it. And that, like, to me was huge, and not all people remember it, but Triple H called her a horse face, and like the next day she announced her stepping away from WWE, and I don't think that's a convenience thing whatsoever. She came back years later, but she quit, and that's, you know, to be respected. And when she went back, I think she was probably treated very differently, and I'm glad, because you gotta, you know, and you could tell when it happened she didn't know it was coming, and that's, I think, what the problem was there. But yeah, mad respect.
Absolutely. Come to the things portion. So is there any bucket list items that you have? Just wrestling memorabilia or items that you just have to have?
Zero. I'm not a memorabilia person. I don't care about autographs. I've never been. I'm more on experiences. I'd rather meet somebody and spend time with them than get their autograph. Autographs to me are just writing on a paper, and I've just never valued them whatsoever. Like, when I was a kid and the New York Mets won the World Series and I went with my sister, one of the few things I ever did with my sister, because we're 8 years apart and just never lived together, we went and got an autograph from the pitcher of the New York Mets, Ron Darling, because she loved Ron Darling. And, I mean, we waited in line all day. Like, there were just thousands of people in line to do this. And I'm sure 3 days later, I didn't even know where that autograph was. Cause I remember looking at me like, it's the guy scribbled his name on a picture of himself. Like, it just held zero value for me. I don't care about having Ric Flair's robe. I don't, maybe a belt, a championship belt. But outside of that, I don't think anything would be really, but I would want the belt cause it looks cool. So I'd probably be just as happy with a replica as the real thing. So I don't think that's, a bucket list item for me at all.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. It's hard for me to think about, you know, big ticket items. I kind of saw one thing a while ago that it's like the only piece of, and it's not really memorabilia, but it is a wrestling related item that I've wanted ever since I saw it. And it's this Bad Street USA, like, skirt, I believe, or jacket. I just love the Bad Street USA logo. Like, if I could have a Bad Street USA outfit, I would. So maybe that's it. I need to figure out how to get a Bad Street USA outfit.
I bet that's doable. I really do. I think we
also
can make that happen.
Probably. And I guess this is going into cosplay territory, so this is going to count at my things. But like a replica $1 million man suit.
Okay, yeah.
But the glittery one. Like,
of course,
just, like, I want it green, gold, glittery with the dollar signs. I want a replica $1 million man suit.
Support that completely.
Yeah.
100%. So what we didn't get to for bucket list items for me, and maybe it's because I got booted, there were some things I'd like to accomplish that I think are bucket list items. And they really come more on the promotional booking side. Like, I would, we've talked about it before, and you know, when we did the IZW reunion show that we talked about, and it's no secret to people that I'm part of the return of IZW and bringing that back and the events that are going to go on. And I would love to get to the point where we do an IZW event in like the Arizona Veterans Memorial Coliseum, like the old arena where the Suns used to play, and do it not just because it's a state fair and you get to do it and a couple hundred people show up and you could have had it at this place, you always have it, but really draw a crowd. Like when All Pro Wrestling in California, when they ran the Cow Palace, I was like, dude, that's awesome for them to run the Cow Palace. They didn't fill the whole place. They only used the lower bowl, and they only drew a certain, they drew like 3,000 people. But I would love to put on a wrestling show that draws 3,000 people. Like, that would be amazing to do, and would be something that I would absolutely love to be a part of and love to have happen. That's a big kind of like bucket list item for me and something that I would love to pull off. And then I would love to, like, you know, I probably have to win the lottery to do this, but it'd be really cool if like all of us working for the Chair Shot were together in an office somewhere. And then this is like what we did and we just had a lot of fun, but that's more like I've gone from bucket list to dreaming at that point. So it doesn't matter, but I think the number one top of the list item would really be to like grow a product to the point where it's in a small arena.
Well, and that's huge to, like you said, to grow product to that level. It takes so much work, time, dedication, having the right team, literally having all these puzzle pieces working together simultaneously to fit exactly in the same place, which I don't, you know, for anyone that goes to a wrestling show, whether it's a big production like WWE or just your local promotion, there is so much that goes behind the scenes that most people just never see. And it just takes so much work and energy just to make it go as smooth as possible. On top of it, just going great. So I think that would be a very cool, but I think, you know, to your surprise, maybe achievable. You know, I definitely not far-fetched.
I believe it's achievable. And here's the crazy thing about it. Like, I feel like after all these years and everything, I actually feel like I have this market figured out now, the one that we're in, or at least the one I'm in Phoenix, Arizona, to the point where it can be truly maximized, where you're getting, you know, you're drawing well on a show that's not just like blowing the budget out of the water with ex-WWE talent or anything like that. Like, I do think after, you know, 13 years of living here and being in and out of the wrestling scene, I think I got the market figured out and could actually grow something. It would take time to do something like that, but, you know, because when All Pro Wrestling, when they ran their show at the Cow Palace, they didn't bring in, like, they had Cody Rhodes, but he was working the indies at that point, so that was it, and he worked a cage match with Joey Ryan, but that was it. Everything else was their talent, and so that's, you know, something that I truly believe could be done. So, but that's about it in terms of what I would be thinking. That might be top of the list, to be honest with you, to be able to pull something like that off. But that's just my initiative, I guess, and just the way that I think and am. So, yeah.
Hey, and that's the beauty of a bucket list. It's your list. So I hope everyone that was listening to this edition, you start thinking about your own bucket list. Write it down. Share it with your friends, your family, your wrestling community. You never know who has similar bucket list items. Maybe you decide to, hey, I'll take a trip to Wichita Falls, Texas, or New Orleans for WrestleMania. You know, whatever it is, use this as an opportunity to remind yourself why you love wrestling and the things that you want to accomplish as a wrestling fan, or even to get involved in wrestling. Maybe you decide you want to pursue professional wrestling, whether it is as a wrestler or a referee, you know, ring announcer, you know, start taking those steps, because being a part of wrestling, it is an amazing experience. in whatever capacity that you serve and decide to go into. It is a lot of work, but it is also the most fun. It definitely does help reinvigorate your love of wrestling. So if you want to, you could share your bucket list items with me on Facebook, Miranda Morales. Maybe with you too, Greg. Can someone at you?
They sure can. They can add Chairshot Greg if they want to. Even if it's on Facebook, it's also Chairshot Greg and Instagram. Like, it's all the same.
And don't forget, you can get all of the best wrestling news, analysis, and opinions on thechairshot.com. The hashtag Miranda Show is part of the Chairshot Radio Network, so you can listen to a whole variety of other podcasts, the Greg DeMarco Show, Pod is War, a huge amount. So if this is not your cup of tea, sorry, not sorry, but right, you can definitely find another podcast on the Chairshot Radio Network. I'd like to say that this podcast is just something a little different, especially if, you know, you're not quite sure where you fit into the world of wrestling. I feel like sometimes that's where I am as well. I'm not on Twitter, so I don't always see what's happening. But sometimes I feel like I fall in the middle of the line of a lot of things. I see, you know, multiple perspectives and opinions. It doesn't necessarily mean I live in one camp or another, but just kind of am open to hearing other people's opinions and ideas. And sometimes you wonder, where do you fit into this whole wrestling landscape? Well, I hope this show is the show for you. Don't forget that you can also support the Chair Shot by going to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot, and you can buy yourself a soft style t-shirt. Yes, the queen of soft style herself is recommending you buy a t-shirt. Of course, a huge variety of t-shirt designs. Save Tag Team Wrestling. Believe what Daniel Bryan and Rowan are doing. I mean, we should send them these shirts, but I don't know if these are like organic cotton reusable, so they would just like throw it away. But like, I feel like this shirt is them. Like, they're trying to save Tag Team Wrestling and they need to wear these shirts. But yeah, I don't know if it's, you know, falls in line with their moral and ethical guidelines on t-shirts, but it is soft and you can't deny that. Also, don't forget, there is the Always Use Your Head shirt, the Chairshot OG shirt, Chairshot 316, Suck It Nerd, which has definitely become a fan favorite. So if you're looking for a shirt to buy, maybe you have a birthday coming up, anniversary, hey, just a because gift, go to the Chairshot shop on prowrestlingtees.com. Get your friends a shirt, your significant other, your kid, yourself. Get them all soft style t-shirts.
Fucking nerd.
It makes me smile. It makes me really happy. Not going to lie.
Well,
I heard none of that. You broke up pretty bad there, but that's okay. You're back now. Maybe you're not back. Maybe you're not there. I think we lost Maria. Oh, no. Miranda dropped from her own show. Well, there's really only one thing to do at that point, then end the show.
Adult. Adult.